So Sue, can you tell us a bit about what happened to your daughters?
My first child, Sherry B, that had heart problems, and she died at the age of 3, 32 years ago. So that was very traumatic for me when she passed away due to sickness. Actually, the day she passed away, she was supposed to come home from the hospital, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But I wanted to prevent when Sherry died, prevent another child from going through what she went through, and another mom and dad never ever to feel what I felt at that time. I have other daughters and stuff, like there was Terry, there was Carrie. I never named Terry or Carrie, by the way. I only named Sherry, so. And then I had two stepchildren, Shauna and Sherry, another daughter named Sherry, but my stepdaughter, Sherry. And my husband and I got together when our girls were just little babies. Like, I think Shauna was 15 months old, so we were a conjoined family, and they weren't his kids, they weren't my kids, they were our kids when we got married. And I'm a survivor of domestic violence. Terry left home after she graduated at the age of 16. She moved in with Kenneth Michael Sinclair. Person was his name at that time, and they wanted to play house. And her dad and I, under no circumstances, didn't want that to happen because we seen what was happening, the controlling, the isolation. And Ken was a person that we took in as a young teenager because he was abused. And my husband and I, being survivors of violence through childhood and earlier adulthood, we always believed in our hearts that any child that with enough love, you could change them and put them on the right road in life, okay? Terry and Ken fell in love. Terry was home, I think it was the year 1992. Yeah, 92, she came home. She was home for 6 weeks, and she started opening up and telling her dad and I what was happening. And her dad and I really tried to get her out of this situation for a long, long time, right? From the control, like as a teenager, going out with him and stuff. And she said, Mommy, I'm going to go back. He was in a car accident, and we were just horrified. Basically, I think that's when my husband and I felt that would be probably the last time we saw Terry, and we were basically right with that gut feeling.
Right. That's really, it's very difficult to break that cycle of violence.
That cycle, yes. So anyway, she called me the day after she got back to Winnipeg, and she was crying uncontrollably, and she said, Mommy, Ken beat me up really, really bad. I'm not taking it no more. And we have friends out in Winnipeg, and I said, okay, give me 5 minutes. I'll get someone to go and get you. I'll get the money for the plane ticket, and you fly home, right? Like, she finally opened up about the violence, even though we knew about it, right?
Right.
So I called a friend, and she said, send her in a cab because she was babysitting. She had, like, lots of kids, and she said, I'll pay for it. And I said, okay, Kim, I need your bank account number, blah, blah, blah. I'll transfer the money. And I said, when she gets there, Dwayne, or you take her to the airport, buy her a ticket, put her on a plane. Do not give her the money to do it herself. Put her on a plane. Anyways, I was dealing with our youngest daughter, Shauna, and stuff, and it was supper time, and my husband wasn't home yet, and the phone rang, and Kim was frantic, and she goes, Sue, where's Terry? And I go, what do you mean, where's Terry? Terry's supposed to be at your place. And she goes, Terry never showed up, right?
Okay.
So right away, I hung up the phone, and I started calling. The phone was disconnected. I couldn't reach Terry. I called her dad. We called the Winnipeg police. They said, no, she's 16 years old. She can basically do what she wants. You know, we can't do anything for 48 hours or whatever, right?
Even though there was a risk of violence?
You betcha. You betcha. Terry disappeared. It was like off the face of the earth. And we had a friend whose name was James Stewart, who was a private investigator. He did us a favor, and it took him 6 weeks to find Terry. And he tracked Ken and Terry down to Calgary. And Ken had changed his name from Person to Daphne, which was his biological father's name, which he never seen his whole life. Anyways, we called Robert Daphne, and we asked to speak to Terry. Actually, my husband did, Terry's dad. And he said, no, Terry's not there. And he said, will you please give Terry a message? She's got 24 hours to pick up the phone and call her mom and I. Otherwise, we're going to send the police out for her. Anyways, within about 2 hours, Terry called home, and she said, you don't have to worry about me. I'm a big girl. I got a good head on my shoulders. And it was about 2.5 years later, we get a call out of the blue. Like, she stopped talking to us. Hi, your grandparents of a beautiful baby girl, Gabrielle, Ken and I are so happy, blah, blah, blah. We were traveling and setting up companies across the country, my husband and I, and we were on our way to Calgary. We were in Saskatoon, and I picked up the phone. And I said, okay, Terry, this is when we'll be in Calgary. You know, I'd really like to see you, Gabrielle. And she just had another baby, Gideon. And she said to me, under no circumstances, Mom, are you and Dad ever allowed to be alone with Gabrielle or Gideon.
Wow, that's harsh.
And I said, why is that? And she goes, because that's what Ken wants. And I said to her, and this is my last conversation with her, I said, Terry, when you want me to be your mom, pick up the phone and call me. Her sister, she was in contact with her sister, Shauna and Carrie Pearl, a lot. And Carrie and Shauna were keeping us informed on the violence. And plus, she had aunties out there that were kind of keeping a track out on her in Calgary and stuff, right? On April 29th, 2002, I was watching these crime shows on TV like I usually did. And I always told my husband after Sherry passed away, because my husband and I have been together for 30 years, I said, God forbid if anything ever happened to another child of mine. I said, you might as well take me, lock me up and throw the key away, because there's no turning back for me. Anyways, Carrie called, and Shauna answered the phone. She wouldn't let the police come to the house. She wanted to know what had happened first, right? And she goes, no, you have to tell me before you even get to know where my mom and my dad are, right? And Shauna answered the phone, and Shauna blurted out, Ken murdered Terry. And my husband flew off the chair, and he grabbed me because he knew what I was going to do. Because I was taken off. I was going to go to Calgary to be with my baby. And Shauna said, Dad, the police want to talk to you, right? Carrie wants to talk to you, and the same with the police. And he said, just tell him to hang on a minute. He said, come and hold Sue. And my girls are all bigger than me, and Shauna had a death grip on me. And Carrie was on the phone, and she still wouldn't give the phone to the police. And she was telling her dad, and he says, you know, Carrie, that's a pretty cruel joke. And she goes, Daddy, Terry's dead. The police confirmed it. We went out to Calgary. We only had 10 minutes to view her body. We had to call in family and friends from all across the country to put claim on Terry's body so that he couldn't have her cremated before we got to Calgary. We also had a second autopsy done so that there was no screw-ups and stuff. We got to Calgary. We got to see her for 10 minutes, and her neck was broken. She was strangled. She was beaten from head to toe. She was thrown on a cold slab with just a sheet covering her like she was a piece of garbage. And then she was cremated. And she didn't even have a proper service. And this church that she used to go to, Roger and Holly Peterson, it was Victor Cornerstone Church in Calgary off of Center Street North. He threw his hands up in the air in his church in the sermon because the police were there. All of Terry's aunties and uncles and cousins were there. Like, she comes from a huge family. Anyways, this pastor threw up his hands in the air, and he said, Terry, if I could trade places with you just to see what it's like up in heaven, he said, I would. You know, who would want to trade places when you're murdered and you leave three small children behind? But Terry was murdered on April 29th, about 11:45 p.m. She had three children. Caleb was 10 months old. Gideon just turned two on April 19th, and Gabrielle was 4 and a half. Gabrielle told the police that it was her dad that locked her and her brothers up in the bedroom. It was their anniversary that he murdered her on. He went to Terry's other sister's place in Calgary, her stepsister, and he spent the night there instead of going to his remaining boarding house because he said it was too late to go back, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, he said to Terry's sister, go and check on your sister. She's not feeling well. And she went there, and Terry was in the front door, totally exposed. The babies were crying. Another couple hours, my grandson would have been dead from dehydration. The babies were apprehended, and Terry's best friend, Teresa Ross and Richard Ross, took him for 6 months, and then they had to give him back to him after a 16-day parent course. And he's still free, and he's still beating women, and he's still choking women, because family members from these women have contacted me because they have seen me on the news, and they have they've seen my site and stuff and just sent me private emails like, please call me, please call me. And I've actually met two of the ex-girlfriends that he beat and choked unconscious. And I've never, ever seen my grandchildren. We only got to see them once.
So what year did this happen?
April 29th, 2002. It's coming up to the 10th year. Oh, and on March 8th, prior to her murder, she called the Calgary police for domestic violence. No one was charged. That law was changed because of me out in Alberta when, in my first marriage, because the judge kept on asking me, why did I keep on dropping the charges? When you're in domestic violence and there's children, the first thing that they're going to do is threaten your children. And what does a mom do? Protect her babies. And I protected my babies. And as sick as it was, and my ex-husband used to say, I'm going to take Sherry. I'm going to move Sherry. You'll never, ever have a grave to visit.
And why are your grandchildren still under the care of Ken?
Of him? Circumstantial evidence, and it's the alibi that's keeping Ken free.
Well, that's a hard story. So how did you meet Bridget?
It was the first year that I had enough courage to come out publicly. Like, I was scared of everybody. I lost faith in mankind when this happened to Terry. Like, and because I looked at everybody, are you a killer? Are you a killer? Are you a killer? Right? Like, my trust was gone. Like, I would panic if there was more than two people around me. I couldn't be around people. Like, I lived out of town, out in the country, and my doors were locked. My window blinds were closed. Like, I basically cocooned myself for 4.5 years. And I was at the bar with my husband, and James Stewart came up to us, and he said, Sue, I got someone that you need to talk to. And her name was Claudette Dubon Smith, who worked for the Native Women Association. And she said, come. She said, just come. Well, you know, like, we can help you deal with this and stuff. Because I was petrified. I didn't want to be anywhere. I didn't want to go anywhere. So I went. I met Teresa Ducharme. She rocks Beverly, Jacob, Bridget, and that's with Sisters in Spirit. And we started working together on the vigil, and I've been going at it ever since, bringing awareness about our murdered and missing women.
Thank you, Sue Martin, for sharing your story. Do you have any last words you wish to share with us tonight?
Hands are for hugging and touching and holding, not hitting. No one has a right to hit or hurt another human being. These are just bullies. Stand together, and these bullies run.
Mm-hmm.
Fight back. Once you take control back, they have no power over you.